going into your divorce blindly is by far the worst and the most expensive decision that you can make. And I can tell you this personally because it's exactly what I did. I'm going to tell you all about it on this episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce. If you're going through a divorce or you're thinking about getting a divorce, then this is the podcast for you. We give you the unpopular opinions no one else is talking about that will save you thousands of dollars on your divorce. Hosted by Morgan Stobsdale, the head of family law at the largest family law firm in the country, and comedian Andrea Rappaport, we're going to hold your hand, we're going to help your heart, and you will avoid the biggest divorce mistakes. This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. Okay, it's about me today. I'm in the hot seat because I've hinted many times on the show about the mistakes that I've made and why, you know, this podcast came to be in the first place. But I thought that it was important to really talk about specifically what I did and what I don't want you to do. So I'm going to start at the very beginning. The first mistake that I made that I don't want you guys to do is I waited a really long time to take action. Now, a lot of people who know me would think, no, you didn't. As soon as you said that things were wrong, you ripped off the Band-Aid and you left. On the outside, it looks like, what do you mean, Andrea? You moved out of the house. You were just gone one day. You left one day while your husband was at work. You took the kids with you. What the hell? You did not wait too long. Yes, I did. I ignored so many red flags in my relationship. I'll be honest, I shouldn't have married the person that I married. I should have gotten out of that relationship long before it got to I do. But I didn't, because I didn't listen to myself, because I was scared that I wouldn't find anybody else. I think I was more afraid of being alone than being with the wrong person. I kept going. I kept thinking that something was going to change, even though there was no sign that anything was ever going to change. I just kept going. So that's the first mistake. Don't kid yourself that things are going to get better if you know in your gut that they're not going to get better. Now, does that mean that once you know that they're not going to get better, that you move out in the middle of the night? No, of course not. But it means that you have to start thinking and you have to start planning. And you have to forgive yourself. That's a hard thing to do, but you have to forgive yourself for getting into that situation in the first place. I got so caught up in the decisions that I made and how that was about to impact my children and the rest of my life. And oh my God, how am I going to undo all of this? That I got stuck and I needed to move past that, or at least put that in a box and say, okay, I'll deal with the shame later. Right now, I need to think. I need to have meetings with the right experts and get myself out of this thing. And that brings me right to mistake number two. I felt too much and I thought too little. Because, and all I think my mistakes are probably connected, because I had let my marriage get to this point where I was an absolute disaster. And I've spoken about this part openly. So if you know anything about my story, you know that I got really sick. I had gotten to a point in my relationship where I was falling apart. I was completely controlled by everything that was going on in my house. And I was a disaster. I had become a shell of myself. I had a raging panic disorder that was out of control, and I was a mess. And because I was a mess, I was feeling and not thinking. How could you possibly think when you're in that place? I don't know, but I know that if I could do it all over again, I would have gotten better and more strategic help so that I wouldn't have made more mistakes. And what do I mean by that? I mean that I would not have hired the very first divorce attorney I spoke to who would take my case. I was in this place of desperation. And so I said, okay, all right, great. Let's do it. You'll help me? You can do this? Great. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't following any of the guidance that I sit here and tell you guys now. We tell you all the time, interview 3 people. Use the guide that we created, which is based off of the decisions that I made that got me into such a messed up spot in my divorce. Use the How to Hire the Right Attorney guide. Communicate with your attorney the right way once you've hired them. If you get the wrong guide to get you through the woods, guess what? You're not going to get through the woods. You're going to get eaten by a bear, or you're going to fall off a cliff, or you're going to get lost and starve and die. And that's what I did. I did not hire the right attorney for my case. Now, I'm going to break this down even further. We all have a certain amount of money in our bank account, and we all can do math, or most of us can. Actually, I don't know what I'm saying. I can't fucking do math, but I have calculators. And you know, you do the math and you look at what you have and you look at how much you can afford. Of course, we all want the bright and shiny, fancy attorneys. We all want the Morgans. Most of us cannot afford the Morgans of the world. And at the time when I got my divorce, I didn't think that I even needed a Morgan, because I knew how much money was at stake and I knew that mathematically it didn't make sense. But here's what I didn't know. I didn't realize that by asking for financial help or taking out a loan or putting it on a credit card that I would deal with later, that I would have gotten the strategic help that I needed to navigate something that was going to take me under. I didn't realize that the other side of going with something affordable and budget friendly is that the communication is way different. They don't correspond with you as much as you would probably like. It's a smaller firm. There aren't as many eyes and ears on your case. If you have a question, it could take them a lot longer to get back to you. So if I could go back, I would have interviewed 3 people. I would have asked them the questions that we map out for you in our guide. I would have compared all 3 individuals. I would have consulted somebody who I have in my life who helps me make good decisions, and I wouldn't have been so reactive. I would have thought more, felt less, because I was in such a place of desperation. I immediately lined up with somebody who I thought was like good enough and we could do this. And I was wrong. The next mistake that I made is when there were warning signs. Again, there's a theme here. Andrea doesn't look at red flags. When there are warning signs that my client-attorney relationship was not working out, I should have paid attention to those signs. I should have paid attention to the fact that every time I got off the phone with my attorney, I felt more confused. It's not about not hearing what you don't want to hear. That's very different. In fact, it's a good thing if your attorney tells you things that you don't want to hear. That's not what this is about. I felt more confused. I didn't understand the strategy. I didn't feel better. I felt worse. And not because I wasn't hearing what I didn't want to hear, but because I didn't understand what the fuck was going on. That's a big red flag. At that point, I should have been more clear with the attorney that I had that I did not understand. I didn't do that. And that leads me to the next mistake that I made, which is I signed things that I should not have signed without fully understanding. The big one for me was the parenting agreement. I rushed through the parenting agreement because, again, I was feeling and I wasn't thinking. I didn't like the way that it felt to go through the parenting agreement. Nobody likes the way that it feels. It's awful. And I say this so many times, but when you have children, whether you're the dad or the mom, when you have children, you never imagine that one day you're going to be signing a legal document that says when you're going to have these children, when you're not going to have these children, and what you have to agree on with this other person and what you don't. That thought never comes into your mind. It is so counterintuitive to being a parent. We think, because this is how it should be, when you're a parent every single day of the week. There are not days of the week where you don't see your kids, where you might only be able to talk to your kids during this certain window of time. My God, it sucks. And I did not ask for help. I rushed through it because I didn't like the way it made me feel. Again, just like with me and the attorney, I'm like, okay, this is good enough. This is fine. This is fine. This is fine. I guess this is fine. I don't know. I can fix this later. No, you fucking can't. It took me thousands of dollars to go back to court to quote unquote fix it later. Don't do that. You have got to think. You have to take your time. If it gets really uncomfortable, put it down. Take a break. It does not have to be resolved in a week, like everybody thinks that it does. Now, in my case, because like I mentioned before, my situation became dangerous before my divorce process started. And so I had to leave the house. Well, that means that I did have to have a temporary agreement in when you are in high conflict situations. You don't understand the language of temporary agreements enough. And these temporary agreements are sometimes not so temporary. And that's why it's really tricky, because there's a rush to get something done because you're already living in separate houses and the stakes are high, and it's prime time for you to make a mistake and before you sign something. So that goes back to have the right attorney. If you are in a high conflict situation, I'll go ahead and say this. I don't think that a budget-friendly attorney is right for you. Naturally, you're going to say, well, how the hell do I pay for that, Andrea? I don't know. I wish I had the answer. I don't know. Rob a bank. Fingers crossed you don't get caught. I don't know. I wish I could resolve that. I really do. Because I can hear right now, and I can see the emails flying into our inbox as soon as this episode goes live. Well, Andrea, how the hell do I do what you're telling me to do? I really, really wish I knew that part. And I promise you, I will work so hard to figure out that part of it for you, because I understand that it's not fair. But so many times, the budget, the affordable option, is not going to be the right option to get you through something that is really high conflict. Because these high conflict divorces mess with you and mess with your kids on so many levels. Had I gone with a more qualified practice to handle what I was going through, or maybe I had fought for at the practice I was with, not to have a new person on my case. If I had fought to say, no, I don't want the new guy. I want the guy who's been doing this longer than a few weeks. I'm making a joke. I'm not saying my person was at it for a few weeks, but I might have had more strategic help, but I didn't. And because I didn't, I rushed through things. Things were filed, things were signed, and it was not good. I made major mistakes. The next mistake that I made, it kind of goes along with the attorney. I didn't have any education, because who wants to learn? Nobody wants to learn.
Learning suck.
That's the biggest issue I've had with having this divorce crash course, is I'm thinking, well, God, courses suck. Nobody wants to learn anything anymore. But we only know what we know, and you don't know what you don't know. And guess what? Unless you go around getting a divorce every single day, or you're a divorce attorney, then you don't know. You don't know how to do this. I should have gotten the education, and that is exactly why we have the divorce crash course, which, my God, you guys, please Help yourself. Get your hands on it. I worked so hard to make this product that's not boring, that doesn't feel like you're going back to school. It's simple. It's a podcast, just like what you're listening to right now. And then there's an online component that you go to and it has everything printed out for you with clickable links to templates that you can use for the shit that I didn't understand, like different parenting time schedules, explaining the different schedules, why this is good, why this isn't good, explaining how you organize your money, giving you a template for a balance sheet. That shit that I did not have. I didn't know how to do this. And because it made me uncomfortable, and I judged myself for not knowing it, I just kind of looked the other way and I filled things out really quickly. I'm like, I don't know. Here's some numbers. Here you go. Turn it in. Get it done. I treated my divorce like a homework assignment that I didn't want to do. And then I would just quickly like, I don't like this. I hate calculus. Let's be real. I never took calculus. I hate math 101. Counting for dummies. And I'm just going to scribble in the answers and turn it in. And I don't care what kind of a grade I get. Let's just be done with it. You cannot do this with your life. You cannot do this with your divorce. You have to slow down. I know that it hurts. I know that it's uncomfortable. You're not going to get through this thing in a month and a half. You're just not. And it doesn't mean that your life doesn't move on. You can still move on with your life in other ways and be going through a divorce. A lot of people think that you can't. I mean, I did. That's one thing that I actually think I did right. I started dating. I was very clear in my relationship that I was going through a divorce. I did my very best to keep my divorce, even though it was high conflict, separate from my relationship, which at times I don't think I did very well because I'm a human. But my God, I needed to go out and have fun. I needed to live again. When I was in my marriage, I was not living. I was surviving. So I think that me going out and doing things and actually living kept my head above water while I got through, when I went through a divorce. So I'll go out there and say it. And for a lot of people, that's not the right choice. And you do have to be careful when you're dating how you do that. It doesn't mean that you introduce all the kids and, you know, you guys move in together. I did not do that. I kept my kids separate until it was appropriate. I did not move in with the person I was dating, who now is my husband. But I certainly went out. I certainly lived. For me, that was a good thing. So your life doesn't have to stop, but you do have to slow down and think. Just because you're living, it doesn't mean that you rush through the divorce. And just because you're going through a divorce, it doesn't mean that everything else in your world stops and you don't live. You have to have a hobby. You gotta go do something. I have this like theory that pickleball has gotten so popular because so many people out there are so miserable that we've got to just hit these balls really hard back and forth on a court and yell things at each other. I don't know. Maybe not. Pickleball people, weigh in. Is that the case? I don't know. I think that there's something about like we all need something to go and do. The next mistake that I made has to do with the kids. I didn't have guardrails in place to protect my kids in my divorce. What I mean by that is things got so ugly. When somebody who's used to being in control loses control, they spiral. They don't just give up. They don't just roll over and say, okay, well, I controlled you for so long and now you're leaving and I don't have the control. Oh, well. Game over. Guess I'll try harder next time. Doesn't usually work like that. They grasp harder for control. They'll chase you. They'll fight you. They'll throw insults your way. They'll try to scare you. And when it doesn't work on you, they're going to go for the kids. I don't think they do this because they want to hurt the kids. They do this because they don't have anyone else. They do this because on some level, they know that hurting the kids is the easiest way to hurt you. And the other side of it, which I think is kind of an unpopular opinion, I don't think they're really thinking it through. I don't really think that it's like, this premeditated idea of now I'm going to fuck with the kids because that'll show him or that'll show her. I don't think so. I think that's the lowest hanging fruit. Kids are easy to fuck with because they're young and they're there and you have access to them and you can control kids. Again, it's not something that we're thinking about. It's just what you're used to doing. So if one person exits the marriage and you don't have access to control them and you're losing something that you are so used to controlling like a puppet, well, naturally, you're going to control what you still have in front of you, especially if now this person's world is being threatened with not having the kids every day. You're going to grab on more. So the guardrail that I should have put in place that I didn't put in place is using the right co-parenting app. I'll be honest, I used Talking Parents. Talking Parents didn't work well for me. I should have used our Family Wizard. Our Family Wizard, obviously, you guys know we talk about them on almost every episode of this show because we believe in them. This app is different. This app gives you better safety measures. It monitors the communication. If you're going through a really shitty divorce and somebody wants to grab control, they might not follow guidelines, and you might have a day where you don't talk to the kids and the kids can't talk to you because someone is saying, oh, there wasn't time, it wasn't convenient. If you use our Family Wizard and you communicate with the kids through that app and you can FaceTime them, it works just like normal FaceTime, then there is a documented paper trail that the orders were not being followed. That's a big thing. It puts that safety measure there so that you can then show that to your attorney and say, hey, look at our Family Wizard. There have been consistent days where Brenda hasn't called me with the kids during the time that she's supposed to call me with the kids. If you don't use our Family Wizard, it's really hard to prove things. And if things are that bad, your judge will put a parenting app in place. If your soon-to-be ex is sending you nasty text messages, accusing you of things about the kids, not paying you on time for things, that's all stuff that our Family Wizard handles. Another thing that I should have done that I didn't do was I let my ex have access to me all the time. Even though he was spiraling out of control, I was probably spiraling out of control. My ex probably made the mistake of letting me have access to him, sending text messages back and forth whenever I wanted to about, you know, you're doing this. And he would say, you're doing this, going at each other, which is not good for you and just drains you. Well, our Family Wizard has a tool in it where you can pick one time of the day when you get messages from your ex. That's it. One time a day. So you're not constantly being bombarded. I should have used it and I didn't use it. I didn't think I needed an app that was that sophisticated. I went with something that was lesser than, and actually, I even stopped using the app. I just got tired of using it and I just stopped using it. Shouldn't have done that. Again, that fatigue got to me, so I just quit. The biggest mistake that I made in my divorce, and this is the last one, I had no realistic expectations because I went in blindly. I thought that the court cared about emotional and mental abuse, and they don't. And it's not because the court is bad. I mean, in some ways, family court really needs to have some zhuzhing, a rebrand, if you will. But in a lot of ways, it's just really hard to prove. And it doesn't necessarily matter in terms of what the court can control. The court cannot stop an asshole from being an asshole. Only you can stop it. And you can stop it by not feeding into it. I wanted somebody else to fix all of my problems that were Andrea problems. It wasn't problems that I needed a judge or an attorney for my ex-husband to fix about him. It was stuff that I needed to fix about me. It was things that I needed to start doing differently, not just in terms of my divorce, but in my life. I had gotten to such a bad place in my life that I was accepting things that were wrong. I wasn't thinking. It was an emotional disaster. And I was just there. I wasn't living my life. I was just surviving. I was taking whatever was thrown my way. I was eating table scraps everywhere, figuratively, not literally, people. I needed to take control. I needed to say, you know what? Enough. Enough of this bullshit. This doesn't feel right. You need to explain this to me more. Give me a better expectation of what's going to happen. I need a tighter strategy. This doesn't make any fucking sense to me. With my, you know, ex-husband, I needed to not let the bullshit and the threats affect me and control me the way that they did. I could have gotten through my divorce so much easier if I would have just said in my mind, shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. Shut all the way the fuck up until you reach the top of Shut Fuck Mountain where there are no more fuck ups to
I didn't need to say that externally. I don't need to tell him to shut the fuck up because that's only going to cause a fire and more of an issue. So it's not about telling the other person to shut up. It's telling yourself, telling in your head, when they throw something your way, shut up, just go away. That's not real. That's not the truth. Fine. By making all of that bullshit go away, I would have been calmer. I would have been a better mom to my kids while I was going through this divorce because I wouldn't have had as many moments where I needed to bang my head against the wall in the bathroom. By just taking that time to say, my God, shut the fuck up. Is this real? Is this a real thing or am I just reacting to something? Does this email really warrant a response right now? No. Is there anything of value in this nasty, aggressive email that I just got? No. So why am I getting so worked up? And now why am I forwarding this email to my attorney, asking my attorney to weigh in, which is only costing me God knows how much money to have my attorney weigh in on something that they're just going to say, ignore this email, it means nothing. Well, guess what? That little stupid exchange could have just cost me $325 for them to read an email, read the email that's attached, and respond to me. Well, that wasn't worth it. I could have told myself that if I would have thought. If I would have taken the time to educate myself, to listen to a podcast like this one, which didn't exist, so I couldn't have done that. But that's why I'm doing this podcast with Morgan. That's why, again, we took the time to create the Divorce Crash Course. It will literally help you save thousands of dollars. You will avoid mistakes with how you communicate with your attorney. We will help you figure out how you organize your finances. We give you a template to use for a balance sheet so you don't have to go and ask your attorney for every single thing. We spell out the parenting agreement and what you need to look out for, the traps to not fall into that I fell into because I rushed through it. We go over all of the easiest mistakes to make and how to not make them. And it's $50 because we went to our partners like Our Family Wizard and SoberLink and we said, hey, can you guys help make this thing more affordable? We want everybody to be able to have access to something that'll help them not do what I did. I don't want you guys to do what I did. You know, I get so many messages from people who say the nicest things, you know, who say like, Andrea, I look up to you. Thank you for telling the truth. Thank you for, you know, doing this show. Oh my God, I'm going to start crying. But I do this show because I was not strong when I went through my process. I could have done it so much better. And I want you to hear my words. You have the ability to not mess this thing up. You have the ability to think more and feel less. You go and you feel with your friends. You go and you feel in therapy. And yes, you should be in therapy. And you have to think. And you have to use the help that's available to you. You've got to get the right attorney. You have to get the right guide to get you through the forest. Unless you hike for a living, you do not know how to navigate the forest on your own. Unless you get divorced for a living, you do not know how to do this. You will make major mistakes. These are the major mistakes that I made. I don't want you to make these mistakes. They're totally avoidable. You know this. We tell you this every single day on our show. It's a marathon. And what do you do during marathons? You have to slow down your pace at times. A sprint is just something that you go through and you're done in 30 seconds. I guess I'm not a Kenyan. I don't know what sprinting is like. I also don't run marathons, but you got to pace yourself. There are going to be days where you're going to want to take a break. Take a break. But you don't quit. You can do this. I know it's exhausting. I know that you feel like you are doggy paddling, and you probably are, but use everything you can to keep your head above water. Go out, go have fun. Here's a place where I would say, yes, be like me. Go wander around a Marshalls or a TJ Maxx. Go wander around a Target. Go for a walk. Go find friends that make you laugh until you want to pee your pants. That's the shit that will keep your head above water. Don't feed in to your ex. They're hurting. They're hurting just like you're hurting. Whether they are a total asshole and somebody out of control, or they're just a temporary asshole because they're hurting, they're going to sling some mud at you. But guess what? Mud wipes right off. Wipe off the mud. And keep going. This process that you're going through does not define who you are as a person. It does not define who you are as a parent. It's just a thing. You're going to get through it. You're going to be okay. These mistakes can be avoided. Listen to our podcast. That's why we do the show. Go join our private community. Follow us on our social channels. We're doing everything that we can to help you get through this process in the safest and smartest way and for the least amount of money. Because yes, I do want you to hire the right attorney for your case, which might be more expensive than the budget attorney. And I also want you to communicate with that attorney in the smartest way, which will save you money. Go with the big firm, go with the right person, but don't overspend once you've gotten that retainer. That's the key. That's the secret to life right there. We can help you do that. That is literally why we built our program. There's a direct link to the Divorce Crash Course in the show notes. There's a direct link to our Family Wizard. There's a direct link to everything except my bank account. Yeah, maybe one day I'll just start handing out money, but not today, folks. Remember, you're doing it. You can do this. I'm here for you. Morgan's here for you. You've got this, and we've got you. The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast shall not be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information heard in this podcast shall not and should not be used as legal advice.